Are you ready?
Now back to Heatwave Sports.
Here we go, hour two, Heatwave Sports, Super Sunday night, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Want to get interactive with us, 702-876-1340 at HW Sports over on Twitter. So for hour two, we welcome in another cast member of the Heatwave Sports crew. He's also part of Vegas Sports Daily. He's also part of his own Sudden Death Sports, Jose V, back in the chair.
What's going on, brother? Appreciate it. I got to correct you on one thing, though.
Yes.
It's not Sudden Death anymore. I went back to my roots. Remember, Straight Bet Sports.
That is my fault.
And I mean that respectfully, yes. But I appreciate the shout-out, of course.
We want to make it correct. So.
Yeah. What's going on?
How is that? So we know you did a show right before the Super Bowl, kind of get your feet back into the wet. Is that on pace to start up again, where we do monthly, weekly, something?
Correct. So basically, just trying to get a couple of things figured out here financially for the show. Obviously, you know how it goes. But I got some things in the works already, and I'm hoping for March, about March 6th, I think.
Okay.
I'm around there, hopefully. Not an official date, but we're hoping for March. Hopefully get things rolling again. Got a couple sponsors that are going to jump on with us, so that's a good opportunity there. Just looking forward to it, man. Just, you know me. I just want to get back on there, be able to do a daily show, because then just gives you more to talk about.
Absolutely. For me, it's a stress reliever to do this.
Definitely,
people
man.
Don't understand that, but it really is, because you go into this zone for however many hours you're doing it, and everything else kind of just falls by the wayside. And you talk about something that, you know, look, me and you grew up loving sports for what they were, and as we've gotten older, I think you'll agree that maybe we don't love so much these sports as much as we used to, and a lot of that's because of the way the world is now. But there's still things that kind of tug at your heart a little bit when you're talking about sports. And you know,
definitely,
I'll give you props. A perfect example is that this whole tragedy with Kobe Bryant. You guys, when you guys did that show, the night it happened,
yeah, man,
that was a great show that you and Chris did. And then I see basically you interjecting what Kobe Bryant meant into your family with photos and explaining to your son. He doesn't understand, but he will later in his life. So it's things like that that make all this worth doing.
Definitely, man, definitely. It's always fun to be able to jump on the mic and just talk sports. I mean, my wife always tells me, don't you get tired of doing the same thing? Don't you get tired of talking? And it's just like you said, it's a stress reliever. It's something that I get to do. But when it comes to the whole aspect of sports, I agree with you, man. I think I've fallen off a bit as I've gotten older, but not in a bad way. It's all, you know, situations, what's going on in your life. You know, I'm married now. I got kids. You know, I got a job, day job, things like that. So you don't have that much time to be on to the whole sports scene like you were growing up.
Right.
But that passion, that love for it, it never goes away. I mean, look, we were talking about the XFL before we got on the mic, and it's a league that's just starting, but yet we're passionate. You know what I mean? That's that thing about sports that just – even if you're male, female, doesn't matter. You can talk about it, and it's just fun, man.
We'll do XFL here in a second. I actually want to ask you, since we left on it in hour one, what's your take on the whole Houston Astros? I know.
Oh, man, I was listening to you guys on the way here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love what Tommy said. I love what you guys were talking about. But it's just, it's crazy how you have an owner that can literally have the audacity to come out and basically say, well, I mean, yeah, we did cheat, but it had nothing to do with us winning a World Series. It had everything to do with you guys winning the World Series, and you're basically contradicting yourself. Don't do that. And not only that, I love what Cody Bellinger did. Coming out the way he did, saying what he did, you know what I mean? Being real about it, not hiding behind anything. Now, overall, though, I say this. Strip them of the World Series. Leave that season as an open season. But you can't give the World Series to the Dodgers. Let's be real here. Dodger fans that are saying that, at the end of the day, you still did not win the World Series. Whether you got cheated out of it or not, I would just leave it as a blank open season. Because it's been proven that you got caught, man. Jose Altuve, I used to like the guy. Not anymore. You're a proven cheater. How could you still come out and act like nothing was done, like you did nothing wrong and everything is okay, and you're just going to walk away with it? And when, especially with the commissioner, man, that guy's a joke. He's a complete joke. How could you come out and say that you're not going to basically do anything? Because let's be real. What really did he do? What did he do to the Astros? Nothing. He could have taken away that World Series. I think they need to be stripped. I think some players need to be suspended, fined, something. Because you're basically letting people walk away squeaky clean at the end of the day. And it's not fair, man. It's not fair to the game. It's not fair to the fans of the game. And there's a lot of people that are going to go to the Angels game in the beginning of the season where the Astros playing. Supposedly there's fans that are getting ready to boo. And just it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. I think the whole season is going to be bad overall. Every single game that's outside of Houston, I just think that the people are just going to go after the Astros, man. And it's going to be sad but yet fun sight to see, as crazy as that sounds.
They said that with no suspensions to the players that have admitted guilt or sideways admitted guilt, I guess would be the way to put it, that there would be ramifications and that the players would police themselves. So Dusty Baker, the new manager of the Astros, comes out and basically asks for protection, knowing that that's going to happen, and that anybody retaliating for this would be held accountable. So you're gonna hold, and I get it. You don't want somebody throwing 100 mile an hour baseball at the head of Jose Altuve, right? There has to be some type of safety, but you know, peg him in the butt, peg him in the leg, right?
It's gonna happen regardless.
Definitely. But you're going to suspend these guys? And that's where the hypocrisy of the league comes in and makes Rob Manfred look like an idiot in that he really has no sack, Jose. He has no grapefruits that he can't. He had a perfect chance here to solidify his reign as commissioner, however long it's going to be, by making a bold decision. Just suspend him for a month, 30-day suspension, whatever, right? Something.
I'm good with that. Just give him something.
Yes.
You gave him basically a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, he said you basically said you cheated. It's don't do it again. But it affected, like, you know, like Tommy had said, there's people filing lawsuits, guys that are just pissed off. I mean,
imagine bettors. We're in Vegas. Imagine bettors. People that had futures on certain teams, man. I mean, that's crazy. It affects everything, not just the game we watch, just all around.
Goes deep.
Yeah.
Goes deep. All right, Damon, I need you to jump on real quick because you and Tommy claim there was some defense in this fourth. I haven't seen one lick of defense in this fourth quarter.
They're showing you a replay right now. Look at that block by Giannis.
Oh, this goaltending, you mean? This goaltending we're watching right now?
They reversed the call, called it a block.
Okay.
He's like, get it right. Come on.
Yeah, initially called a goaltending.
It was a great play.
Great play. Come on, man. You got Kyle Lowry out there taking charges in the fourth quarter. I mean, come on. What do you mean there was no defense?
Bro, how about James Harden giving up the shot at the end of the game? Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
When does he pass? When does he ever pass up? Shout out to Mike Dixon because he tweeted out the video and he got a little bit, you know, stuff about it on Twitter. But I'm like, yeah, what? Like,
well, scared of the pressure. I mean, you know, come on, man.
Exactly.
He saw what Giannis just did to LeBron right here. He was like, yo, I can't have that be me.
Oh my, I don't want to be posterized.
That was a straight decision, business decision.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm not trying
to get my shot pinned against the glass.
How crazy is that right there, though? Joel Embiid and Giannis on the same team, right? Like, that's just crazy.
See, exactly, man. And you're talking about
if they went back to East-West, they'd still be on the same team.
They'd still be on the same team, but it's just fun to see, like, I like this guy. I want this guy on my team.
It's more like a pickup game at that point. I get it.
Yeah.
You get to choose your team. But then if you're the last guy chosen, how do you feel? Like, damn.
You're the worst all-star.
Like, man. Devin Booker got chose by the commissioner. Like, he wasn't even chosen by LeBron or anybody.
Shouldn't have been in.
Well, no, the only reason he went
in. Yeah, because Damian Lillard got hurt, but still, it's just like, all right, okay.
That's great.
Enough complaining.
Dude, but it's nice to see guys in there like Sabonis, you know, Luka, like all these European guys. Like, you know what I mean? Even though I know Sabonis played out here, but his dad's European. You know what I mean? Like, his roots.
I mean, granted, none of them played in the fourth quarter, but, you know.
But it's nice to see those new faces. You know what I mean? It's good to see that there. And honestly, man, you're going to see Luka a lot more. You know that.
Oh.
Luka's going to be the face of the whole NBA pretty soon.
He's going to be better than Dirk.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. He's got to win championships, though. I mean, if he doesn't win championships, he can have a great career, but they're not going to make him better than Dirk.
It's not
going to
be because Cuban won't spend the money, that's for sure.
What do you think? So. DeMar?
Oh man! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! I think he's gonna be the best thing walking. I mean, just like with the usage rates, I know the numbers are a little bit inflated. He's like, oh, because like even LeBron's like never, like, if you look at the usage rates, been in control of that much of his team's like offense, had the ball that much, you know, in his career. But he's putting up the numbers, like, it's clearly like, oh, he's like averaging close to a triple double. like when it comes to just like numbers and counting stats, it's going to be one of those like he's going to be an all-time great.
How old is he? He's 20, right? Isn't he 20?
21, I think.
20, yeah. 21. I mean, geez. And the guy's already technically a vet, which is crazy, man.
So I just saw this charge. That was ridiculous. You don't call that a charge in an
All-Star
like the
game.
Only charge in the game, right? And they call
Kyle Lowry took two charges.
Took two?
Yes.
Oh, gee.
How about this?
He's moving, see? Oh, that's bull. God. That's bull, man.
They wanted to show everybody that that's what James Harden does all
the time. That could have won the game. The game could have been like, it goes on for like another few minutes.
He is moving.
That was a great flop. I'm sorry. How about Chris Paul dunking, though? Did you see that? Did you guys see that?
I didn't know he still had them hops. Yeah.
And then he credited it with his plant-based diet.
Oh, is that it?
He told J.A. Adande, he had the tweets out. He was like, you know, a couple of years ago, I couldn't have done that. But, you know, got to, you know, give credit to the plant-based
diet.
He's
what, 32, 34, something like that?
Yeah,
he's
but
like,
his body's so busted
up,
man.
Said he hasn't had to ice his knees all season. Plant-based diet hasn't had to ice the knees all season.
So he's been going to the Impossible Whoppers all of a sudden, and now he's got, you know.
Have you guys had those yet?
I had one.
Does it taste like it?
Unfortunately, just like a regular one. Kind of.
I'm sure it's filled with sodium, though, so it's probably not that good for
you. And they cook it on the same grill as the regular one.
Right.
So,
yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Hey, we take that bacon off that. That's the Impossible one. Okay.
Just use the grease. We're good.
Yeah. Let's talk about this XFL, though. Okay. So we're 2 weeks in.
Yep.
TV ratings aren't out for week two, but week one averaged, I think it was right around almost 3.5 million viewers. And Tommy had brought up last week, you know, we were talking about XFL 1, which is 20 years old now, and how they had 50 million opening weekend. And obviously everything changes over time, and TV ratings are way different now than they used to be with the advent of people just having other things to do. And, you know, I'm sure DVR cuts into that a lot, and those ratings are different, but good opening week, and here's where I'm looking at the positives so far, and you can say what you want to say about secondary football leagues. We saw the AAF,
I think it was, yeah.
They who jumped the gun to beat the XFL out and ended up basically costing themselves and folding with, I mean, they were done mid-season.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They didn't even complete a whole season.
It was terrible.
Wow.
You're always going to have the initial hoopla surrounding week one, right?
Correct.
Oh, brand new league. I know this guy. You know that guy from college or the NFL. Attendance is going to be your highest, you would think, in week one.
Yeah.
If you're looking at secondary leagues where you see it just tail off so badly that they end up folding. So in week two, and you brought up a good point in that, look, there's four games. There's two each day.
Simple.
You don't have to worry about any, you know, like, six games and trying to figure it all out. There's two games a day. So this weekend, you had Houston with its second home game in a row. They did 17,800 last week, 17,100 this week. Okay.
Great.
That's good. That's cool.
Good number.
Right?
Solid.
LA opened their first game with almost 15,000.
Yeah, which is great.
That's crazy for that market, right? That many people don't even show up to the Charger games, it seems like. Washington went, they dropped a couple thousand. So I think they went from, I want to say 17.5 to like 15.5, but still.
It's still a good number, man. You're at 15,000 people.
Right.
Like, come on.
And here's the big one. So Seattle, football heaven, right? Jose, they did 29,000 people yesterday. And I know in that stadium it looks like empty, but.
That's a huge stadium, that's why.
Right. 29,000 for their home opener. They had to open up seating because they had blocked off
Seattle
so much.
Dragons, I think it is, right?
Yeah, that's my second favorite team.
Dude, that's a nice uniform and a helmet, yeah.
So we'll see how some of these teams in their second games go. Like, obviously, we'll see if people come back out in L.A. to support them. Seattle, I think you'll have support for a while unless they just completely stink, which I don't think they stink. So, you know, there's legs here. There's legs here. And I like that. But it's still a long way till the end, and you know how things go. People get tired of whatever the new fad is.
Yeah.
But if I want to kind of pick apart this league. I know you said you've watched bits and pieces of it. I've pretty much watched of the four. I see what was it? Four
a lot
games
of things I like about the league, man.
Yeah, I watched probably five full games and parts of the other ones.
Got it.
So what do you like initially? What so other than it being football, what drew you to this league? Was it some of the names you knew? Was it some of the rules? Or was it just the fact that, hey, man, we can still watch football?
I'll be 100% honest with you. Going into week one, I partially looked over the rules, didn't know too many of them or what they were going to be doing. Didn't know too many of the players. Obviously, Landry Jones, you know, some of the guys that you know name-wise that made a little bit of a splash in the league, whether they did anything or not, but name-wise, they were there. But it's just the XFL. I was intrigued when I was a kid when the first one came out. Yeah. LA Extreme won the first championship of the first time ever, Tommy Maddox. It was just that intrigue again, and I love football. I love football. And now what I like about it is the access. Bro, they're taking you into the freaking review booth, letting you listen into that. A guy throws a pick, he's got a mic in his face 30 seconds later in the sideline. And not only that, the guy's okay with it. Like, the football player's not mad that there's a mic in his face after he just threw a pick.
Yeah.
Landry Jones had a mic in his face today after throwing a pick, and he was good with it. Week one, Pat McAfee was interviewing him on the sideline, talking about, hey, so heard you were working carpentry or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just, it's normal conversation, and I love it, man. Half times are shorter. I love the kickoff. One, I think it's safer. But two, you're getting away with those ridiculous touchbacks. Nobody wants to see a touchback in a football game, period.
No.
But you got guys like P.J. Walker that I was telling you about from the Roughnecks. This guy was a guy that didn't make it with the Colts after being drafted into the NFL. And now look at him. He's putting up crazy numbers, throwing Pat Mahomes type sidearm passes in between defenders. And it's a feel good story. You know, you said you like Dallas. You're a Renegade guy. Look at Landry Jones. We just said it.
Yeah, they won because of him.
Exactly. You know? He's their quarterback. This is one. They're already using him as the face of the franchise. I read an article on ESPN. Yeah. I forgot who wrote it, but they talked about how the XFL came to Fox and came to ESPN and said, here, have at it. They basically said, do what you want, try what you want. We want to give you guys full access. That's something that, not to disrespect the NFL, they even said that that's something that the NFL has never even done till this day, which is that's pretty amazing. Now, what are you going to continue to do, though, is the question. Because people could look at something nice and shiny and love it, but they could get bored of it pretty soon as well.
Sure.
So that's the thing. What are they going to do that is going to keep people wanting to keep watching? I love it. I think it's good so far. I like the fact that games have gotten a little more high scoring here after the first week. I love the fact that they love implementing the point spreads, who's the favorite, and they talk about it.
Yeah.
Dude, you got the announcers talking about, well, we're going into halftime if you had the first half or this and that. Like, they're talking about it, and that's awesome, man. I love it. I hope it keeps going. And not only that, my biggest thing, Tim, I hope it doesn't become a league where players are just getting so good and they leave. I want this to be a league where these guys create their name, create their legacy, create this league and continue it, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, don't just be like, oh, the NFL's giving me another shot. No, make this league great first. That's just me. Granted, you know, they're going to make their money. They're going to get paid, dip out where you got to go. But I like it, man. I hope it continues. I really do.
You saw in Houston, you mentioned P.J. Walker. That was Connor Cook's team. They brought Connor Cook in to be the face there, and he lost the job straight out to B.J. Walker. And look, they're 2-0. They beat a good St. Louis team tonight on TV. We saw in L.A. today. You know that area very well. 15,000, we just said it, to attend basically what people are calling minor league football.
What is it, Dignity something?
Yeah, it's the soccer stadium there. Yeah. But Josh Johnson's the quarterback there.
That's my team, L.A. Yeah, I'm on. They're 0-2, right. You know, but
They got Norm Chow as their offensive coordinator. Yeah. Norm Chow,
and that's the thing, you know, I saw an article that they were complaining. Look, there's always going to be critics either way.
Dude, the coach got fired after week one, which was insane.
That was crazy, yeah. Right?
Well, now they lost again, so somebody else has got to get fired tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody else got to go.
Did we get it right?
Oh, I was looking at an article. He's like, well, you know, the quarterback plays. The quarterbacks are supposed to be the face of the league right now because of the most known names. And some quarterbacks are just terrible.
Yeah.
Just putting up. I saw Matt McGloin. I think he had 43 yards passing for the game, right? But look, you know, I understand all that. You have to give. You have to give it time, man, right? You have to get. These guys had a month together. A month.
Dude, there were memes on social media that had Jameis Winston. And Aaron Murray?
Yeah.
The dude from the Tampa Bay Vipers. Side by side, and a guy walking, turning around and says, when there's another Tampa Bay guy throwing picks or something like that. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, Aaron Murray's been pretty bad, and he was brought in to be the face of that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So, and he was a guy that was good in college and had a name. Like, it's insane, man.
But those are the names that the people knew. Maybe they drew you into the league, and all of a sudden now you're watching it and you're finding these other stars. We saw in LA today the first ever 3-point conversion.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Right? That's different. What's the NFL's version? Oh, let's just back it up 10 yards and make it like a small field.
I like the no extra point kick. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So now in the NFL, you have kickers missing extra points because they're small field goals.
And not only that, if you're a better, because, you know, I bet too.
Sure.
It changes the way you're going to bet this game. Because you're not going to get that 1.7, you know, this and that. It's going to change everything, man. It's going to change
everything. You saw what happened in week one, right? The guy kicked a field goal, put the spread over. There was a penalty on the defense. So they moved they rescinded the field goal.
I didn't see that.
Moved the ball up, and they didn't score. So the game went under. God. That was like the big talk of week one.
Yeah, three games went under in week one.
Yeah.
Tommy liked the overs. He was talking about it.
Like you said, I like the fact that when you look at the score, the spread is sitting right there in front of your face. There's no hiding anything anymore about this. And I think the logos, look, the way that this league came out slowly, right? They did a slow burn.
Exactly.
The XFL's coming back. And then 2 months later, oh, we're going to have 8 teams. And then 2 months later, they started releasing the teams. And then you get the logos. You know, logos are cool. The color schemes of these uniforms are great. Everything they've done has been professional, top-notch. This isn't a joke like, oh, Vince McMahon owns this. Mm-hmm. It's like the first time. It's gimmicky. There's none of that crap. I haven't even seen Vince McMahon.
No circus acts like it was in the first time around. Very professional.
This is the real deal.
Some people were complaining, oh, they should have let them put their nicknames on their jerseys. No. He did it a professional approach. This is a professional football league.
And I think that's what's going to keep it from ultimately it's his money. And that's the other thing that I brought up last week on the show was that the original...
And he's got a lot of money at stake on this one.
He put his own money.
At this point.
He took his stock out of WWE and he put it in the league. The first time, NBC was a partner. And that's how he got on NBC. And they had a handshake agreement that they would give it at 2 years minimum, 3 years.
Handshake agreement. I like that, yeah.
Came out like gangbusters in week one. And for whatever reason, America just decided they didn't want to watch it no more. And the ratings tanked.
And I think the NFL has something to do with that.
Here's the call. If you don't do something about this, you have no chance in getting our games ever again. That's basically because they didn't have football at that time. That's why the NBC became a partner. So yeah, there was a back end deal somewhere, and Vince got screwed on that. I thought the football was better then, as far as the talent that was being used. And this is a league where we're going to see. I say by week 7-8, it's going to be quality, not NFL quality, but it's going to be quality football.
Professional quality.
Yeah. You have to take it for what it's worth.
And I like when it comes out week after the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Like, they're not waiting. People are still fresh off the Super Bowl, and they're like, wait a minute, I can watch football again next Saturday and Sunday? Why not? It's good.
I think you'll see as well. And you mentioned, okay, some of the names. So Cardale Jones is probably the biggest name now, and he's had two great weeks.
He's in D.C., right, with the Defenders?
Yeah. 276 today. He's going to be in the NFL next year.
You think so?
He'll make a team somewhere.
But he's got to continue his play.
Yes.
He can't go down. He's got to continue his play. His play's got to stay up.
But I like this outlet, and I'm not saying it's a feeder league because it's not, but it is, right? Somebody's watching.
Oh, definitely.
And he'll at least... You're telling me he can't jump on as at minimum a third string somewhere, if not a backup?
From what I've seen in the first 2 weeks, yes.
Right.
Yes, no doubt.
So that's also what this league has become. And you look at some of the names of the college kids, you're like, oh, I remember that guy. It gives somebody else an opportunity to have a job and to support his family. I think that's the other thing that we're looking at.
Yeah.
In playing a sport.
That they love.
Sean Oakman is a great one. He's a great that guy. I don't know if you guys remember. Ooh. Sean Oakman from Baylor. He had like the picture. It was like a meme all around. 6'9", like 280.
The big dude with the small jersey.
Yeah, and he had the midriff cut from Baylor.
And he had the face mask.
The coolest face mask on the LA team.
Are you serious?
Yes, he is.
Oh my God.
I would be marketing him, be like, hey man, we need you to cut the jersey in half. And, you know, just like we just need you to look cool.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's insane, bro. I thought he was probably in the league or something. I didn't even know where he went. That's crazy.
You know, names like Johnny Manziel, who they basically had no interest in bringing in. You have to understand,
they're
too.
They're smart, man.
Yes, these teams are owned by the league. They're not dedicated owners, which keeps it to where you don't have a rogue owner going out and just deciding to sign whoever the hell he wants to for publicity.
That's true. I forgot about that.
So they're league-owned. They decide who they want to bring in the pool. Like, Tim Tebow was, when they first announced the XFL, Tim Tebow was a name that they had on the map, right? Look, he has a name. He has a big religious following.
I think he would have been good for this league.
I do, too. He decided he wanted to play baseball, but he would have been... That would have been your poster child. You talk about the Tom Brady of the NFL, it would have been Tim Tebow.
Oh, definitely.
Think about that. I hope he doesn't. I hope Vince stays with it because I think the longer it goes, it will stay. It will stay.
It's going to stick.
Yeah, it'll stick. And he's got football people running the league. Oliver Luck. You know, look at all the big NFL, past NFL names that are associated with these franchises. Moose Johnson essentially is the GM in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the coaches. You know all the coaches' names. You know who they are.
Bob Stoops.
Yeah. Jim Jerry, Thorne.
You got Jerry, Glanville, old school, right?
Is Jerry Glanville in this league?
Yeah, isn't it? Isn't that right?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
I think that's what. No, is that his name? I'm sorry. I'm mixing. No, the dude from Seattle.
June Jones is in this league. I know that in Tampa or in.
Not the dude from Houston. Seattle. The dude from, I think it's Tampa.
Oh, Tampa's is Mark Trestman from.
No, no, okay, not him then. Who's the guy from Seattle?
Jim Zorn is Seattle's football coach.
Who am I thinking about then?
The fact that I know this is probably, you know, makes you think about something.
All right, we got Bob Stoops in Dallas. Yes. All right. We've got Pep Hamilton in D.C.
Okay.
Good coach.
Uh-huh.
June Jones, Houston Roughnecks.
Yep. Perfect league for him.
Hawaii. Right. Wasn't he in Hawaii, too?
Hawaii, yeah. It's SMU.
Yeah. Winston Moss, Los Angeles Wildcats.
Yep.
Kevin Gilbright, New York Guardians.
Very well known.
Jonathan Hayes, St. Louis Battlehawks.
Good. He was an underrated guy who probably should have had a coaching job in the NFL. Yeah.
Jim Zorn, Seattle Dragons. Mark Trestman, Tampa Bay Vipers.
Okay.
I think that was eight right there.
Glanville might be a coordinator, though, right?
I think so. I'm pretty sure I saw him on the sideline today on one of the games.
Like you said,
Seattle.
You have Norm Chow running around. Yeah. You know, you have all these names you know. I don't want to say it's like a place to go for retreads, but it kind of, I mean, look, just because you're not the guy in the big league anymore doesn't mean you don't have talent.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you don't understand the game and can't draw plays up and make it exciting. So I'm a little weary right now on the article the guy had mentioned. He brought up the three quarterbacks who have bad statistics. And yeah, I was watching some of the games and it's still sloppy, you know. And like I said, they had a month together. In training camp. That's essentially what they had.
Yeah.
I think you'll see
this is their preseason.
Yeah. Give them two or three games, work out the kinks, find the chemistry, figure out defensive schemes, and put in your own plays. Let's see what happens, man. I'm all for it.
So let me ask you a question. What changed with ESPN?
As far as?
Covering the league. Because first time around, it was NBC, like you said. Were they afraid of the NFL and they no longer are because all they do is Monday night? You know what I mean?
I think, in my opinion, I think ESPN needs content. They need programming. You know, you're talking about, what do they have, three channels on the cable platform. Now they have the Plus Network. Content is king, right? Isn't that what they always say? Content is king. I don't think it hurts. Here's the thing with the NFL, though, right? Maybe the NFL doesn't approve of the XFL, but the XFL isn't out there in their face saying we're coming for you, you know.
They're exactly.
Like, hey, we're just doing our thing here. We might supply you with guys to help your league out. We're going to look at what the NFL took from the XFL originally. There were rules that they took. The cameras. The camera system, right?
The sky cam, exactly.
I think if the NFL thought they were a threat, it would be different, but I don't think they see it that way.
I like the hits because they're hard, but yet they're still technically trying to protect the guys if you look at it. They're not letting guys go – you know, full throttle, crown to crown type, you know, hits.
Right.
Guys are getting smashed, but they're good, solid, clean hits. The announcing is good. The commentators are, I'm not going to say great, but they're solid. You got good guys on there that know what they're talking about. They don't sound boring. They got the good combinations of the people that they're putting together. It's fun, man. And like I said, the whole microphone thing. Week one, they had a couple guys dropping the F-bomb, which they worked around it. But that's cool, man. Almost every player on the team is mic'd up. Like that's like going back to, I used to talk to my brother about this. He's like, would you ever pay pay-per-view if they gave you an option to watch an NFL game with no announcers, just let the guys talk, and you're listening to every single thing that they're saying. So talking crap at each other, going at it, whatever, would you pay for that? I'm like, yes. But that's what the XFL is giving you now. And we're not paying for it unless you're going to the game. Right. If you're watching it at home, they're giving you what you want to watch as a football fan.
That's another thing. The ticket prices to these games are affordable.
I haven't seen what the ticket prices are. They're pretty good.
Yeah. So I have a friend. He was on the show last week, actually. He lives in Houston. He used to do MMA. Okay. Write articles for a website. He has a podcast. So he went to the opener in Houston. He said for him, it was four of them. To get in, the tickets, essentially 40-yard line, which is, you know, pretty good seat.
Decent, yeah.
For the four of them, it was like $80.
Wow. That's not bad at all.
No. You have a family, too. You know.
That's not bad at all, bro.
You know, you have a family. It's expensive.
What did he tell you about the concessions? Did he say anything about that?
I should have asked him that. So the Houston one, they play at the University of Houston. So I'm assuming they're a little bit lower anyways than the major stadiums.
They chose good stadiums, by the way. That's another thing I was going to say. Like, in L.A., perfect size.
Right.
You don't need to get anything bigger than that. Don't go to the Coliseum.
I think with the exception of the big markets, so D.C., New York, and Seattle.
Yeah, New York, they play at MetLife, right? Yeah.
Which, look, man, you know, it's whatever, but he wants to be in the big markets.
You got two teams in Dallas. In Texas.
Probably could put a third. I think San Antonio would be a great place to put a football team.
Where would you play? They still got the Alamo Dome, or
they tore
it down?
That's too big, dude, yeah. Right?
Well, it depends. If they love football, can they fill it up? Or at least get it a good crown enough to where it's filled and black out the top?
You know what the bottom line comes down to? Rent. What's your rent going to be on it? So if you get a good deal.
Definitely.
Talk about. So when we come back, I'll look at the schedule next week. I'm going to throw out some more big names in the XFL. But speaking of rent and can you fill it up, I do want to get into VGK in a little bit. There's another hockey team coming to Vegas. I want to get your thoughts on it. Like, this was like Christmas morning for me when I found this out. And I'll tell you why on the other side of the timeout. It's Heatwave Sports here on a Sunday night, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
XFL Week 3, Saturday games. ABC, the opener of the Houston Roughnecks, Jose's team. He did pick them before the season, everybody.
Just got thrown out there.
2-0, led by P.J. Walker. They will be in Tampa to take on the not so good Vipers at 0-2. The 2 o'clock afternoon game over on Fox, the Dallas Renegades. Landry Jones getting in some action today, leads his team to a win. They take on the Seattle Dragons. Seattle, I said earlier, Jose, almost 30,000 people in Seattle for their first game.
They love their football.
Sunday afternoon on ESPN, the New York Guardians, a big fat 0-2, take on the St. Louis Battle Cats in St. Louis. This is St. Louis's. Yeah, that's a great team. Isn't that a great one, too? This is their home opener. So think about this.
Okay.
They're playing in the Edward Jones Dome, formerly where the Rams played.
Really? Okay.
And you talk about a city. If you look at the eight teams in this league, St. Louis is the only team that doesn't have a professional team, right?
Correct. That's right.
Look, for what I do for work, we have a store in St. Louis. I talk to people out there all the time. This is a big deal coming up for them. They're excited about this. They're going out in promo. They're bringing the girls down, you know.
Okay.
Football has been gone in St. Louis for three, four years now. So they're excited for this. I want to see what the attendance is going to be for this one Sunday afternoon in St. Louis. I think it's going to surprise some people. And then the nightcap over on Fox Sports, D.C. led by Cardale Jones, 2-0 against the Mons L.A. Wildcats, big fat 0-2. Who's getting fired in L.A. tomorrow? we'll see what happens with that.
What do they call it? Black Monday?
Black Monday in L.A., right?
Oh, my God.
It's overreaction Monday. It's like, come on, calm down.
Hey, you even said it earlier during the break. You're like, who else is going to get fired? But, yeah, man, I think Cardale Jones being in L.A. for that game, I think that's good. I think it's going to draw a lot of people. I think a lot of people are going to go watch. I can see another 15. What is it? Were they 15,000?
Yeah, it was
there?
Almost 15.
Yeah.
It's an afternoon, or it's a night game, too. So, you know, have you
wait a minute. It's a 6 p.m. Okay. Yeah.
Have you been to that stadium in Carson?
Really? Yes, I've been there to watch Galaxy and the Chivas USA when they were still around.
So it's a very
it's nice
cozy, yeah. Right? You're right there on the action.
Very comfortable.
15K in there. It looks nice.
Oh yeah.
Think about these names, though. I know we kind of ran through them, and for those maybe not so familiar with the league, Landry Jones, Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Mm-hmm. Oklahoma, played for Bob Stoops. There's a connection there.
Correct.
Cardale Jones, Ohio State. Sammy Coates, former NFLer with the Chiefs and the Steelers for many, many years. Matt McGloin, who had the big 40-yard game, formerly of the Raiders. Connor Cook, at one point was backup in Oakland. And then correct. Unemployed.
Michigan State, right?
Michigan State, yeah, right? Michigan State. Big college pedigree. He didn't even win the job. Where P.J. Walker out of Temple, who, unless you're a big college fan, you don't necessarily know. But P.J. Walker was a guy, maybe he's just, I don't know what the official terminology was on size-wise in the NFL. He's put himself on the radar now after 2 weeks, Jose. That's for sure.
Definitely.
Aaron Murray, we talked about. He was with the Chiefs for a cup of coffee.
Literally a cup of coffee. That's yeah, how right? it was.
So, I mean, the names here, look, we're just talking about the names. There's guys like DeMond said that if you follow football, you know the names.
So like, here's another big name for them that, like, maybe some people, but if you're just, like, real inside football, you'd love it. Marquette King, you know, used to be the punter for the Raiders.
Yeah,
come on. Only black punter in the league. Come on. He's in the XFL. Got to stay behind him.
Wasn't he on the all-rookie NFL team as a –
I think with he was when he was a rookie.
Yeah, he made the Pro Bowl in 2016. I mean, he was in Denver, like, last time he was in the NFL.
Wow.
And it's just like, you know, but this is – he's another guy that's like, hey, maybe, you know, a couple of those punts, you know.
There's a couple receivers in the league, too, that, you know, same thing, that name-wise you kind of knew and weren't great.
You remember growing up watching the Greatest Show on Turf and Ricky Prohl? Yeah. His son plays for
– no, a team here?
He plays for – DeMond looked that up for me. Austin Prohl.
Whose son again?
Austin Prohl.
Austin Prohl.
And I'm on it.
Prohl's son.
It's stupid that I don't remember because he had a big game in week one. So
Ricky Prohl was the white dude, slot receiver.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember him.
And his son is with the name.
Yeah, they had him, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Oz Hakeem. Jeez, man, that team was just Marshall Faulk. I mean, golly.
And they won one Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's insane.
And
they had no defense, though. That was the problem. They gave up a lot of points.
Right. Plus, just come back, Austin Prohl on the ding, 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 Seattle Dragons.
Seattle Dragons, see? Why, I don't know why I drew a brain fart there, but they in week one, they showed they're trying to build up the league, and they're showing these videos, right? So they show a video of Austin Prohl, and they went back to when they won the championship, and there's a video of him, his dad, carrying him around in the celebration.
Really?
You know, the way that – look, you can make this work. You really can. And I'm as excited as you are, man. You know, on Twitter, you and I are big XFL guys. We try to promote it as much as we can because I think that's important. I think for the league, they've done everything, I believe, the right way. Now it's just kind of – it's in Luck's hands, right? And when I say Luck, I don't mean Oliver Luck, the commissioner. I mean, it really is in Luck in that
– we hope it sticks, man.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. It's got to stick. People got to support it. Kind of like when we say support your local teams out here in Vegas. If you're going to like the league, keep continuing to support it. Don't just watch it for 1 week and then say it's a wrap. Give it time. It'll stick to you. I love it. It's only been, 2 weeks, and I'm already excited. I can't wait till next week. I've already even bet on some of these games, which is crazy. You know what I mean?
I'm officially 1-0. I took Seattle
okay.
this week. I couldn't go against the 30,000 in a 10. I thought that was a big deal that – if you're a player, no matter what level you play on, to have fan support means a lot. You know, people don't think about it that way, but if you go and play for a team and you have 3,000 people there, there's a big difference when you add a zero to that three, right?
Of course.
And all of a sudden it becomes a football atmosphere and you're taken back to your college days almost. Like, I remember this. You know, I'm trying to do something. I want to be pumped up and show off for these people. I'm looking forward to week three too, Jose. I really am. And
what matchup are you looking forward to more than anything? From what we've seen in these first 2 weeks, what would you say is the game, like game of the week? What do you think would be the game of the week here?
I think the game of the week is definitely Dallas and Seattle. You don't want to talk about playoff implications in week three.
No.
But really, those are the two of the stronger teams out in that
side. It's only 10 weeks, which is nice.
Yeah. It's Not too long, and it's not too short.
10 weeks, 1 week of playoffs, and a championship.
Dallas, Seattle's on the map. I'm interested, like I said, to see how St. Louis draws. That's a very underrated team there. Jonathan Hayes is a coach who's he's coached under some of the top guys in the NFL over the years, and he never got a shot on his own. So maybe this is his maybe this is his step into the league, or maybe he's going to make a name for himself in this league, right?
They got a solid quarterback, too, Tamu or whatever. What's his name? Tamu or something? Man, he got to get away from those interceptions. But other than that, he can sling the ball, man. He can definitely sling the ball.
And then the night game, Cardell Jones versus Josh Johnson. I like that. Now, whether it plays out on the field or not, we'll see. But those are all things. And if you're a Houston fan, Jose, you got a shot at being 3-0. Tampa's struggled this year so far. Here we are breaking these games down.
I'm sorry. I was looking at week four. That's why I kind of messed up on the quarterback from. I was looking at the quarterback from St. Louis. I'm sorry, but yeah. No, definitely. That and it's the first kind of the night game that they're gonna have, right? They haven't had a game this late so far. They're normally 3 o'clock games, right?
It's gonna be.
Yeah.
It's 7 Eastern. So yeah, looking that is gonna be the latest game that they've had so far. That Sunday matchup next week.
They should do that though. I'm thinking. I mean, it would be nice to have a Sunday night game.
Yeah, why not? You know what I mean? Why not? What else are they watching? Nothing. Walking Dead? I mean, come on. Is that what people
Power's are watching? Power's over, so nobody's watching Power anymore.
Is that what people watch nowadays? I don't know.
Oh, man. Just go hang out with Tim at Deja Vu, man.
Put it on the big screens.
There you go.
I don't know what else.
You know
to say
what?
About
we
league,
are
man.
We are off next week. So boom,
there it is.
It sounds like a remote to me.
Party time!
There we go. We will be watching the game. No, I'm just kidding. Throw the promotion out there now. Oh man, but yeah, man, it's a fun league. I like it. I'm glad it's around. I hope it sticks. Like I said, don't want to sound like a broken record, but biggest thing, like you said too, Tim, Vince McMahon is in the shadows. You don't see him out there. Mm-hmm. You don't see any of his wrestling people there. You don't see any of that. It's not a sideshow. It's not a circus. They've got down to business. That's all they're doing. They're breaking it down. And look at their logo, man. Look at their slogan, for the love of football. And that's what it is. Everything they're doing is all for the love of football. People are getting rocked, but you're getting legal hits. I mean, it's fun, man. I like it. They don't have the cheerleaders in the stand like they did the first time, giving lap dances and all that. No ridiculous run to midfield to go get the ball to win the coin flip. Yeah, man.
So don't get me wrong. I was at the first XFL game in here in Las Vegas against New York.
The Outlaws?
At Sam Boyd.
He hate me?
It was sold out, man. Something that UNLV can't say, right? It was sold out.
I don't remember the last time UNLV had a sellout.
You had the Rock. You know, it was crazy. But Vegas, and here's the thing. For people that talk about Vegas being a sports town, right, and a major league sports town, back in 2000, 2001, that was a big deal to get an XFL team. Football is the ultimate sport, regardless of what city you live in, right? You have hardcores, you have casuals, you have football is football. If you have football, people want to go watch it.
I got a question for you on that then.
Yeah.
What happened to the UFL? I was a season ticket holder for the first two seasons after the second season flopped. But why couldn't they support that? But here's the thing. The UFL still drew more people than UNLV football, which is crazy. But if Vegas loves football so much, why couldn't they support the UFL?
I don't think it was treated as a professional.
They looked at it as a joke.
Yeah. And there was some name. You know, you always talk about the names, right? The they had named players, people you knew. But
you had guys that won Super Bowls with Tampa Bay that were playing in the UFL. You had Dante Culpepper, league MVP, yeah. I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I took a picture with the guy. You had Denny Green. They were who we thought they were.
Who was the quarterback here? J.P. Losman? Wasn't he the quarterback here?
J.P. Losman. Yeah, he used to play for Buffalo. I mean, yeah, man.
I honestly want to say that maybe in the budget. Look, you have to spend money to make money, right? You know that edge. I don't think they went out and advertised the league the way they should have. And I think, again, it may not have been Las Vegas per se. Because what were they averaging? 15,000, 20,000, maybe?
Nah.
Less than that? Way less than that?
It was probably like anywhere from, I'm going to say anywhere from 8 to 10, maybe.
Then they didn't make it because they couldn't make the money to make it.
Not only that, I don't think their marketing was there.
That's the thing. And it wasn't even Vegas. It was all over the whole league.
It was the league in general. Yeah. The league in general just didn't know how to market the players, the team, what they were offering fans. They just couldn't do it, and they didn't do it.
You have to be willing to lose millions of dollars. That's just the bottom line. Is the XFL going to make money this year? Hell
probably
no.
Not.
Hell no.
It's like any business.
Right. Maybe in years 3, 4, 5, they can start making some money. But, again, you had in the UFL, you and I could have bought a team, and if we had the money to put down for the franchise fee, we could have bought a team.
Yeah, it wasn't that expensive.
That was the problem, you know? So,
some of these guys had day jobs. I remember working at 24-Hour Fitness, not trying to give a plug. And I had a guy that was working out, huge guy. I'm like, who is this guy? So I want to go talk to him. He played for the locals team. He played for the Cardinals, practice squad, never made it. Played in the UFL. He went to Arizona State. He played in Hawaii. So the guy had football pedigree in him. So there was people that were literally just working regular day jobs because they weren't getting paid in the UFL.
Yeah.
So they just didn't do it.
He needed, what was he, a trainer?
Yeah, he was a personal trainer. So he had
to make, it was $25 an hour, whatever it was.
But it worked out for him because he got to basically work out. He got to stay healthy. He got to stay in shape when he was going to go play. But yet he was making his money at the same time training all these people in the gym. But, yeah, that's another league that just flopped, man, like you said. You and I could have been an owner, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
When it's that cheap, there's a problem, definitely.
So earlier this week I said that Seattle opened up more seats for their game today, and they ended up around 29-something. So reports out of St. Louis, here we go, Jose. Reports out of St. Louis are that the team expects 28,000 minimum for their opening game in the Edward Jones Dome this coming week. 28,000 would be enough to completely sell out the lower bowl, and they're undecided right now depending on walk-up and how much more they will open up. 28,000 in the lower bowl down there will make for a football atmosphere, and if you can do the camera levels right where you don't even have to show the upper deck, you're going to have a full
black
lower
it
bowl.
Out.
Yeah. So only time will tell. If it becomes that popular, the upper deck holds another 40,000 seats. So, man, that's what I'm talking about right here. And you're talking about, look, I don't want to jump the horse already and talk about expansion.
67,277.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever get that point. But but still, 28,000 for that, that just shows you they want their football, man. And if they're expanding, and I don't know if it's year two, I haven't seen they've been real mum on that. They haven't given a timetable on expansion. They want to see how it goes, obviously. But say they expand by two teams next year or the next year. It'd probably be 2 years. You need to give a team a year to
I like the eight, though. I like that right now. Don't go too fast.
Right. Don't kill it. But in 2 years' time, hey, let's put two more in there, right? Where are you going to put them? Do you put them in college football hotbeds, or do you try to find bigger cities again? For me, and I think I went over the list last week of potential cities for expansion, what about a San Antonio? What about a football
third
city?
Team in Texas?
Yeah, what about a team like what about Orlando, which has had minor league football before or second level league before? What about Kansas City, which all of a sudden is a football, not all of a sudden, but so much steam behind the Chiefs right now? What about Kansas City? What about?
I got a question. What about Oakland?
Exactly, right. You need a tenant, right?
I'm just saying.
What about San Diego?
I would do Oakland first, though. I think Oakland has a better chance.
You got the Bay Area. You got,
And you still have a lot of Raider fans there.
Frisco fans that'll come across the Bay to watch it. Should look, the sky's the limit. Vince has just got to stay in there. You know, he's got to take his lumps.
I think he'll be all right. I think he's doing it the right way this time. He'll be all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're a billionaire, what's a couple million, right?
he's got a lot on the line on this one, man. Like you said, he gave up his stocks and everything, and it's gonna be fun to watch, man.
Let's take off to hour three when we come back. We'll just kind of roll around the world of sports. I do want to talk a little VGK. Yeah. Do we need to talk Rebels?
We could splash it.
Splash a big win. Big win at the Pit. Although I don't know if that's a big win anymore out there. But
hey,
you know.
the only time that they lost in the Pit was against the number four team in the nation, I believe. San Diego State.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. We'll talk about the under 500 Rebels as well. Plenty going on in the World Sports Week in hour three is Heatwave Sports.